Waiting. Hello, hello everyone. Nice to see everyone. Today we're going to talk about how do I get my kids to eat healthier? Hello, I am Christina Campos. I'm founder of The Impactful Parent, and I help parents of school-age children turn their chaos into connection with their adolescent. I offer free parenting tips every single week. I offer online courses and coaching. And if that wasn't enough, I bring experts onto the Impactful Parent stage to teach us even more. And that is what today is all about. So today I have special guest Jill Beccaro. And Jill is an integrative health practitioner and owner of a business called Wellness Riot. Jill helps busy moms who are struggling with things like their energy levels, their digestive issues, and she also has some tricks to help kids eat healthier too, which is why she is here today. Thank you for being here, Jill.
Thank you, Christina. It's great to be here.
I have had you on a few times. I'm very excited for you to be here. Every time we get some great tidbits from you. And so I'm very excited to get started. And just to let everybody know, again, we are live here. So if you have a question for Jill as we are live, please feel free to leave it in the comments. I will be able to see that. And we can ask her right here on the spot. So I'm going to go ahead and get started. We're talking about how do we get our kids to eat healthier? And it's a huge concern for parents, including myself. For those of you who don't know me very well, I'm a single mom of four kids, and it's hard to get kids to eat healthy. So what part of the diet should we be the most concerned about when we have these worries?
Okay. So I love answering the question about why we should be concerned about this at all, because when it comes to something so seemingly dreadful as getting our kids to eat healthy, right? Like, we have to know the reason behind it, and it better be good. And let me just say too, like, I've been there. I remember sitting at the dinner table with my husband and my son, he was about four, and genuinely asking if we had to eat every day. Like, did we really have to eat every day? Because could we just skip some? Because it was so frustrating. I just couldn't anymore. So I'll take, you know, all of that. Some things didn't work, but I want to share with you what did work. So I'll give you a couple reasons that might help us understand, like, why we should tackle healthy eating. Because many of us might connect what we eat with things like physical appearance or weight, and having excess weight or being underweight for both kids and adults does come along with an increase in multiple risk factors for health. But I want to mention a couple that we don't talk about as much. So one is mood. What we eat affects our mood.
And this does,
for better or for worse. And, you know, there are some examples where I think probably all of us are familiar. So for example, our kids eat sugar and they're all riled up and maybe a little off the charts with regards to energy, but they seem happy and excited and positive. And then what? Boo! They crash, right? So then you get the crankiness. I don't want to do anything, you know, irritability. So we see that connection probably as parents. I don't know many parents that don't know what their kids look like on too much sugar. Or maybe we eat something heavy or greasy, right? And then our motivation goes out the window and we just feel like blah and kind of like, you know, lethargic. So those are connections that we're familiar with, but there's actually more. So we make a lot of neurotransmitters in our gut. What the heck are neurotransmitters? So they're basically our body's chemical messengers. They're used by our nervous system to transmit messages. So they're almost like our nervous system's email system. They're messaging all different parts of the body. And a lot of these messages have to do with mood. So for example, serotonin, we might have heard that's like the one of our feel-good neurotransmitters. It's key to our feelings of well-being and happiness, and we make a lot of this in the gut. We used to think that we made it all in the brain, but now we're finding out that upwards of 70% of serotonin is made in the gut. Dopamine is another one. If you've heard like that dopamine hit, it's that pleasure center, right? How we feel pleasure. It also impacts our ability to think and plan, and it affects our motivation. And we make some of that in our gut. So the health of our gut is directly impacts our mood and what we eat directly impacts our gut. So mood is one really good reason to feed our kids the good stuff or try. And by good stuff, I mean veggie heavy, whole unprocessed foods as much as possible. So when I say the good stuff, that's kind of what I'm talking about. So mood is one thing. And another really important thing is immune health. So between 70 and 80% of our immune system is in at right outside of our gut. And that makes sense, right? Because we take in the outside world through what we eat or what we drink. And our gut is kind of has to play bouncer a little bit, like what's good, what's bad, friend or foe. And so it makes sense that our immune system is right around our gut, kind of like keeping an eye on things, letting, you know, the good guys in and keeping the riffraff out. And our immune system's been a big topic of conversation this last year and a half, which is good. The even better news is that you actually have a say in your immune system, your kid's immune system, and the health of it. You can impact how strong and balanced your immune system is. And what I mean by balanced immune system is the right response at the right time, right? So we want it to protect us, right? We want the bouncer to keep the riffraff out, but we don't want him to go beat up everyone in line, right? Like we don't want it to go crazy, which if you know anybody with autoimmune, that's kind of what that is, right? Your body's like, I don't know, friend or foe, I'm just kind of beating up everyone. Whereas like we want it to have the right response at the right time. So the gut has a direct impact on our immune system. And just like mood, what we eat has a direct impact on our gut. So those are two good reasons to, you know, want to try to take the plunge into healthy eating. I also have a couple of just stats that, you know, I think are might be helpful too. So 20% of our kids are obese, which is more than triple since the 1970s. So it's going up and to the right. And unfortunately, children who are obese are more likely to become adults with obesity. And that does come with its own set of health issues, you know, increased risk of health conditions. Also, on average, 60% of our children do not get enough fruit to meet the daily recommendations. And 93% of children don't eat enough vegetables to reach that daily recommendation. So hopefully that gives a few reasons to want to try to plunge into, you know, getting your kids to eat healthy. Cause I get it. Parents are like, why would I even want to do that? That sounds terrible. But hopefully that gives you a little fuel for like things that you can positively impact.
I love that. It's so important to know the why behind any of our parental actions. So it's so important. And if you are just coming in right now, we are live with Jill Beccaro, who is talking to us about how to get our children to eat healthier. And if you're watching the replay, you can go ahead and ask some questions in the, or in live, you could ask questions live. You can ask questions into the replay as Jill will be watching that too. And feel free, ask your questions now. Going back to the mood. Oh my goodness. Parents. Okay. This is so much bigger than what Jill just even played out. Like it really does affect your mood and not only mood of you, but the mood of your children. And yeah, I know Jill gave that example of the sugar and the little kids, but let me tell you about adolescents. Adolescents can be very, very affected by this also. And if you notice that there's been a shift in mood in your adolescent, yeah, it could be hormones and yeah, it could be a lot of other things happening, but it definitely could be also a diet. Are they starting to eat unhealthy and are they eating things from the vending machines at school? Are they picking things at school to eat? Like if you're giving them some kind of an allowance and now they're getting the choice, but are their choices at school not the greatest? Are they picking hamburgers every single day? Are they picking pizza every single day? Those are things you do want to ask your teen. What's going on? Could this be part of it? And I've noticed a change in you since this particular time period. If you see that happening, again, it could be a whole different reasons, but I think sometimes as parents, we forget how much that influences our child. And when as our kids get older, we don't have as much control on that healthy eating because they're doing so much on their own. They're picking out their own snacks from our own cabinet. They are, you know, buying their own lunches at school. And so it is so much more difficult to monitor, but it's still just as important. And I want to make that very, very clear. That's, so thank you for that tidbit, Jill. It's really great. And the next thing is the immunity, obviously the immune system, so important right now to keep up. And again, goes back to those adolescents. Are they getting sick? Also, are they feeling depressed? If you have a child that's kind of just aloof and been more than a little bit off and sadder than usual, or even you see them heading into depression. One of the first things that medical health professionals will tell you is, what are they eating? What's their diet look like? Can you not only get them to get up and exercise, but can you get them to eat healthier? Mm-hmm. So it just affects so much. And this is why we have Jill on today. So very excited to have her. Let's talk a little bit more about some tricks and stuff. So my next question to you is, what's one thing a parent could do today that would help move their child in the direction of a more healthy eating lifestyle?
So, Christina, you actually just perfectly segued into what I wanted to mention, which is noticing, like just notice. And things that you mentioned, and things like, when is your child happy? Do they go to sleep easily some days and not others? When do they complain of tummy aches, if they do? Do you have days where the siblings get along and other days where it's just the total opposite? How are their energy levels? Do they wake up happy or not? What do the teachers say, or the babysitter, or the after school care, the martial arts instructor? Like, what feedback are you getting? And then once you notice, see if you can make any connections. So things like, man, she just crashed in the afternoon. She had such and such for breakfast. Or every time we have this for dinner, she has a struggle going to bed. Or when we have this, she goes to bed so easily. Or when we have this for dinner, she wakes up so groggy. Or he's, you know, I got bad feedback from the teacher, or I got positive feedback from the teacher. Just the practice of noticing or being aware can be eye-opening and incredibly helpful. So we have a lot going on as parents. This is very easy to overlook. It's very easy to overlook. And it might involve, you know, even writing a few things down, tracking a few things. I'm a big advocate of tracking because every child is different. Every person is different. So what, you know, and you have multiple kids, this might look different for all of your kids. Like, one kid might thrive on this and another one of your children might not. But just noticing and making those connections, then you can start making the changes that work for your child or that make sense for your child. Like, you know what? I'm going to try swapping up this for breakfast. I'm going to try adding on this. I'm going to try taking this away. And that's how you figure out little by little, like, what's going to work for your child. So it sounds really basic, but it's easy to overlook. And it's something you could do at no cost. You can do it at on a timeline that, you know, works for you. It's not going to turn your world upside down. You're just going to notice, even before you make any changes, just notice. Start trying to make those connections. And once you do, you won't be able to not make those connections, right? Like, once you make them and you see it, it'll be a pattern and a habit that you'll take with you forever. And you can do this for yourself too. It works on kids and adults.
I am the kind of person who needs to write it down to visually see the connection, because I'm the visual learner. And if you're just joining us right now, by the way, please feel free to ask your question to Jill as we are live. If you are watching the replay, please tell us, what kind of patterns do you see in your child? Is it every morning? Is it every Tuesday after pizza day at school? Like, we get to start seeing those, and your input actually does help other parents look at those comments and say, oh my goodness, I didn't even think of that. So please write your comments down into the down below in the submissions. But I'm a visual learner. I have to write it down. I like to see visually the patterns that are happening, whether it's a particular day or after they eat something specific, or if it's just anything. Oh, I do patterns with so much behavior stuff with my own kids. It's ridiculous. Yeah. But it doesn't have to be difficult. It could be just a quick little note in my phone saying, you know, daughter number two is doing not so good today. You know, son number three is acting out today and I can't figure out why, but mm-hmm. it's those little notes in my phone that over time I can start seeing those patterns, and you could see them pretty quick, I would think, right, Jill?
Yeah. And I think writing down makes so much sense, because if we eat something or a child eats something and it disagrees with them, like, we know that pretty easily, right? Like, oh, they had that and they have a tummy ache. But a lot of these behaviors you're not going to notice them till maybe 12 or 24 hours later. Like, they do have a delayed impact. So when you start writing it down, you can spot the trends. And yeah, a lot of times it's like within a few days, you're like, oh, every time this, then this, like, boom, you see it right away. And you wouldn't notice that necessarily if you didn't write it down. Like, if you just try to keep it in your head, it's like hard to make those like night to morning to night, afternoon to morning, you know, kind of connections. And, you know, unless you eat the same thing every day, like, you won't be able to know. But writing it down very simply will help you make those see trends. And yeah, you can see them pretty quickly sometimes.
And what about beverages? Is this something too, do you think, that we need to document?
I totally would. I absolutely would. It's where we get not only kids, but adults. We get a lot of our calories, our added sugar calories, from the beverages we drink, whether that's, you know, an adult, we're going to get a coffee drink or a tea drink and it's a latte and it's got flavors and sugars, or our kids are, you know, juices and sodas and fruit punches and all those kinds of things, even sports drinks, you know, those kinds of things. And a lot of them have artificial colors and artificial flavors, and those have been shown to have an impact. So I think that's a great point. What they eat and what they drink is super important.
Oh, I'm such not a label reader. Oh my goodness. This is where I am not an impactful parent. I will tell you right now, I am horrible at reading labels. We've talked about this before. Let's dumb it down a little bit for me and for anybody else who's like me and cannot read labels on foods or the back of drinks. What are some huge red flags?
So a lot of times they call this the penny test, or the grandmother test, the great grandmother test. Like, if it's something that you cannot, I'm trying to think, should I put my hand? I'm going to try.
I think you're good.
Really quick. Okay. Okay. If it's something that your great grandmother wouldn't recognize or Lincoln wouldn't recognize, then you probably shouldn't eat it, right? Because there's all these like big, long words, and they're usually preservatives and chemicals and additives. And, you know, we just don't need them. They're not helpful to us. They're not what our body understands. So anything really long and complicated is a good thing to like avoid. But some of the key ones are like artificial colors are huge. They've been shown to be linked to hyperactivity, you know, elevated mood, off the charts energy, things like that. And they're in so many things for our kids, right? I mean, from beverages to cereals to, you know, snacks to Fruit Loops to, I mean, you name it, right? Like everything. And it's so anything that's looks like it's not from this earth of color wise is probably going to have artificial colors in it. But even things like tan foods, like crackers and peanut butter and like things that you wouldn't even think can have artificial colors in them. And that's going to be a color and a number usually on a label. So it'll be like blue number 5 or red number 10, something like that. Those would be like amazing to get out of your diet. And that's going to be in, you know, mostly packaged foods, but lots of them unfortunately geared for kids. So anything artificial colors and artificial flavors, lots of things can hide behind that one ingredient, artificial flavor. It could be hundreds, you know, of different chemicals. By definition, artificial cannot be made from a plant or an animal. It has to be made in a lab. It's a chemical. So anything artificial, you just think like that our bodies aren't meant to process that. And so it's going to be taxing to the system and have typically negative effects. And the other one I'll mention is not just high fructose corn syrup, but like there's 60 different names for sweeteners. And I mean, it's too much for me, and that's what I do for a living. So it's too much for a parent, but just keeping an eye out for the grams of sugar in a particular product and the percentage, you know, of like what we should have.
Oh, thank you for that, because I am so, it's not my thing. And I know I need to. Just because I don't do it well doesn't mean that it shouldn't be done. So I really appreciate that. What other tips do you have for us for how to get our kids to eat healthier?
So one great one is to get your kids in the kitchen. This is huge, and it might mean that you need to get in the kitchen as a parent.
What? And, oh, I'm just joking. I'm actually not a great cook either. Anything in the kitchen, see?
That's not a familiar space for you, because it's not, you know, either time-wise or you just don't like it. You know, make it a parent-child project. So pick a very simple recipe and take a stab at it as parent-child, you know, and I'll tell you why this is important. When children are involved in growing and cooking food, it improves their diet. It's been shown to improve their diet. Vegetable preference is higher among kids who help cook. So they more often request vegetables when they have a hand in cooking. Kids who do meal prep and cooking are more confident about the importance of making healthier food choices. So you're not just impacting the meal that they're having today, but they're actually going to be making decisions that lean healthier when they're a teenager. Like you said, when they're going to the vending machines, when they're buying their own lunches, when they go to college, when they leave the house. So it's having an impact like now and later, which I think is super exciting. Like that's our job, right? We're setting them up for success in all these different ways. So this is a way we can set them up to understand why and how to make better choices when we're not even there.
I'm going to stop you for there for just a second, because it goes back to the teenager thing, which really concerns me, since I do school age children, but a lot of what people have trouble with are teenagers. So that's where I see a lot of questions from my audience. And when your teenager is picking food for themselves, they have to have that knowledge behind it, which is developed not when they're an adolescent. It's really developed when they're much younger. So if you do have a child between the ages of like 6 and 13, this is prime time to start cooking with your child together, teaching them about just the nutritions of different foods, what they like, and all these things. That's perfect timing if you can nurture that, so that when they are more independent and they do become teenagers and you're not there watching over their shoulder, maybe they'll make a better choice. And if they don't, well, at least they know what choice they're making by ordering the pizza that's super greasy or whatever is happening there from whatever. But as an adolescent, they're going to be a lot more concerned about their weight gain and how they look and things like that. So it all does start with teaching that basic nutrition and hopefully getting them to make better choices.
Yeah. And it might not happen today, right? And I think that's a really good point. But if for me, I mean, I grew up, my mom made very healthy choices. I totally rebelled as a teenager because I could make my own choices. But I did learn quickly, like, oh, she was right. What I eat makes a difference in how I feel, how my skin looks, right? Like that's a big one for teenagers too. So we're putting, you know, creams and all this stuff on, but like if we can do that all day long, but if we're shoving, you know, sugar and refined oils and all these chemicals like in our body, our skin is a detox organ. So when our body can't detox what we're taking in quick enough, which is primarily the liver, it's like, here, skin, you take it. Here, skin, you take it. And our gut and our liver and what we eat also affects our hormones. Like everything in our body is made from the food that we eat. Everything. I mean, that's our fuel. So do you want to be made of something that is like from nature that is going to support, you know, it's nutrient dense, it's going to do the right thing? Or do you want to make your cells in your skin cells, your hormones, your chemical messengers out of chemicals, right? That, you know, artificial colors. So it really does go, you know, to the root. But I think that's a good point, is it's, you know, may not happen overnight, but they will have that knowledge. And I think it at some point it will click. It did for me. I was like, oh yeah. Yeah, this isn't good.
And just so hard. Connections, kids right? Want connections instant and gratification.
We all do.
They do. They want to know it's working right here, right now. But what they also need, not only a strong-willed child, but also an adolescent, they need to know the why, and they need to have a reason. It's not all about mom said so anymore. So as they get older, they need to know, how is that going to benefit me? What's in it for me now? And right. That's what teenagers are. That's how they live, because they're naturally very self-centered people, which is developmentally appropriate, actually. So I'm not saying that in a bad way. Right. It was a survival network back when we were primitive. You know, you got to take care of yourself. So what's in it for me as an adolescent? And these are the things that we need to teach them so that they realize and you start making patterns for them, you might have to take the lead in creating those patterns, writing down, hey, look, every time you eat pizza on Fridays and again on Saturdays, you're breaking out on Monday. Have you noticed? Like, you got to actually make those patterns and let them see it.
Yes.
And now they know what's in it for them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's perfect. And, you know, kids of all ages are more willing to just eat the foods that they cook, like themselves. I saw this with my own son. When he was involved in the process of lending a hand to make the meal, he was much more interested in eating it, right? Because it's easy for them to turn down something we put on the table because they can, you know, it doesn't hurt their feelings to say they don't like what we made, but like when they do it, it's like, oh, well, I can't tell myself I did a bad job. I don't feel like doing that. I better eat it, right? So they are truly like more engaged and willing to eat when they have a hand in, you know, making it.
And I would like to know a little bit more about what you have to offer, because I know that you are in brewing something right now. Tell us a little bit about what's going on over there with your business.
I am brewing something. So all of this information and all of my history that I mentioned with my son, I put together a course called Candy to Carrots. So it's how to transition kids to healthy eating in 3 steps. And we went over a lot of that information today. And we just take a deeper dive into it. And it's about an hour's worth of content, video content. It's cut up into snippets that are really easy to absorb, really easy to assimilate, really easy to digest. And then there's lots of resources. So there's a recipe ebook. You know, if you don't have any recipes that you want or know how to cook, there's really simple family-friendly recipes in there. As well as a chart that goes along with the recipe book. And it goes through every single recipe and how kids can lend a hand. They can mix, they can sprinkle, they can mash, like all of that kind of stuff. And then there's a guide and an ingredients to avoid list. So some of the ones that we went over, I just add on to that. And so it's just to support parents. I know they need it. I know, you know, we don't all have time to go get our master's in nutrition. So this is like a bite-sized, you know, start and springboard for parents that I hope helps them feel empowered, because it's not impossible. And regardless of where you're at, you can take that one step. If you're here, you can go to here. If you're up here, congrats, you can go up to here. So it doesn't matter where you're starting. There's the steps in here will be applicable to you and your family. And I think one step at a time is always the best idea. That's what's sustainable, right? And so that's what I go through in the course, is like, just start here. Then don't do anything else. Then don't do anything else. You know, so don't turn your world upside down. Like, right, everyone we know has done that 7-day detox or the 21-day challenge or whatever. And we do it and maybe it goes fine. But what happens on day 8 or day 22, right? We go
relapse.
Right back, because we didn't learn how to make it long term or make it sustainable. So everything in the course is just how to add on at a pace that works for you. I nudge you, but I don't turn your world upside down. I want this to be long lasting. So it's Candy to Carrots, and it's on my website, which is wellnessriot.com. There's a link to it. And through the end of the month, it's half price. So it's, I know. So normally it's $59, but it's only $29 for a ton of resources. And I think, you know, approachable, accessible information.
And would you say that an age range that the parent should have for a child, is it any age or specific?
I would say really as young as like 2 or 3 up to like preteen. But to be honest, I've had parents of like picky teenagers that have used all of this and they're like, it works.
Awesome.
Really like 2 to 3 up to like maybe 13 would be like the prime age range for this, or for parents of children of those ages.
And we'll make sure that Jill puts that link into the comments down below so that you can see it also. And go check that out if you're interested. Jill always has some amazing things for us here on the Impactful Parents. Why I welcome her on time and time again. I know if you're watching the podcast or listening from the podcast person, Jill has a great one about candy for healthier choices for candy for Halloween season, which I'll be putting out in October again. But you could check that out also on our YouTube, on my YouTube channel, which is theimpactfulparent.com/YouTube. So many places to find both of us and get free resources, you guys, free and paid. But Jill and I do both. So check it out. That's what we do. We're here to help parents. So go and figure out what you need and get the help today. Say it for us one more time. Where can we find you, Jill?
Absolutely. I'm at Wellness Riot, R-I-O-T, because I think being healthy is a riot. It should be fun and happy and we should smile. And then the Wellness Riot on all my social media handles as well. But you can get to that through my website.
Awesome. And let's see, I was just going to, I think we're good. Do you have anything else you want to like close with, Jill, before we all head on out? And again, if you're watching the replay, you can ask questions in there. Tell us about what you think. Anything to add before we head on out, Jill?
Yeah, I just want to say always approach with curiosity when it's something that you dread or it's something that you might feel insecure about. Don't beat yourself up. Don't judge yourself or your partner or your kids or your situation. Like I said, it doesn't matter where you are. You can just take that one step, but be okay with where you are. No judgment. Just approach with curiosity and take the step.
I love that. And if you would like to become a more impactful parent, check out all what my website has to offer. I have parenting courses, family coaching, 30-day challenges, and lots of free resources. So you can go to theimpactfulparent.com to see that. But until next time, you got this, parents. We're just here to help. Have an amazing day. We'll see you guys later.